You know, one of, I think, Jesus' favorite places on earth was a little cottage in Bethany. It's on the backside of the Mount of Olives, perhaps in the crook of a road, but he would often come to this home to rest, to eat. Perhaps they washed his clothes for him, but he had some special friends in this little home in Bethany. For in this little house lived his good friend Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary. Jesus was in a different place, and word came that Lazarus was sick. And his sisters sent him word, hoping that he would come and cure their brother of whatever sickness that he has. But the Bible says that Jesus waited for 2 days before he headed toward Bethany. He told his disciples that Lazarus was sleeping. And his disciples said, well, if he's sleeping, that must mean that he's better. He must be feeling better if he's sleeping. And then Jesus was very direct with him. He said, no, Lazarus has died. And he says, I'm glad I wasn't there, because you're going to see the power of God. And so he starts toward Bethany with his disciples. And Martha, the oldest sister, hears that Jesus was coming, and she runs to meet him. And her sister Mary stayed in the house. And Martha talks to Jesus, and we read some of the things that went on between them. You know, and we give Peter a lot of credit when he made his great confession when Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we give him a lot of credit for saying that. But I want you to notice that Martha, who was grieving for her brother who was already dead, who had not seen God work yet, had not seen Jesus work yet. And by the way, we know what he was going to do. He was going to go to the cemetery, and he was going to have the stone be rolled away, and he was going to call Lazarus from the grave, and Lazarus was going to rise up from the grave back to life after being dead 4 days. And Martha hadn't seen any of that, and yet she made the same confession that Peter did. She says, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is also the chapter that with the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, Jesus wept. I think Jesus wept on other occasions, but this is the only time that the Bible tells us directly that Jesus wept. And he wept because people that he loved were grieving. People that he loved were mourning the death of their brother. And so Martha goes out to meet him. They talk, and then they head back toward the house, and Martha runs ahead and comes to Mary in verse 28, and she says this. And what she says is the title, the theme, and my whole message this morning. She says, Mary, the Master is come and calleth for thee. The Master is come and calleth for thee. I want you to notice 4 things this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, who it was that came. It was the Master that came. The Master. Martha said, Mary, the Master is come and calleth for you. Mary, it's the Master. It's the Master. That word Master means controller. The one who is in charge of everything. The one who runs the whole show. The one who gives the orders. It was the Master that came. It was the Master that called for Mary. And I want to remind you this morning, and I praise God for this, that Jesus is the Master. Like the junior choir sang, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Creator of the universe. He is the Sustainer of life. He is the Controller of everything. He's the Master. Deaf ears, when they heard his voice, obeyed him and opened up and heard. Blind eyes obeyed him and saw. Lame limbs obeyed him and walked. Palsied hands obeyed him and stilled. Mute tongues obeyed him and spoke. Raging sickness obeyed him and departed. Fevered brows obeyed his word and cooled. Dead bodies obeyed his word and came back from the dead. He is the Master. Raging seas obeyed him and calmed. The wind heard his voice when he said, "Peace be still," and the wind quit blowing. The fish obeyed him. A time that Peter says, somebody asked Peter, said, "Does your master pay taxes?" And Peter said, "Well, I think so." And he came into the house and he was about to ask Jesus the question, "Do we pay taxes?" And before he could ask the question, Jesus said, "Hey, Peter, go throw a line. And the first fish that you catch will have some money in it. Go ahead and take it and pay our taxes for us." The fish obeyed him. I don't know if that gold piece was in his mouth for a long time or if Jesus sent him somewhere down to the bottom of the sea and picked one up. But fish obey him and brought the money to pay their taxes. The bread obeyed him and multiplied. Fish obeyed him and multiplied. He is the master. Demons obeyed him and fled. Chaos obeyed him and organized. He spoke light into existence. At his word, firmaments formed. Water divided. Dry land appeared. Every flower, every piece of fruit, every tree, every vegetable was created by the master. He is the master. And Martha said, Mary, it's the master. The master is come. And he calleth for thee, the master. He's the one that came. I want you to notice, second of all, he came. The master is come. I want you to know, this particular time in their life, Mary and Martha could not go to Jesus. Their brother was sick. They were caring for their brother. And then after he died, they had to take care of the funeral and all the arrangements and be there when all their friends came to comfort them. So there was not an opportunity for them to go to Jesus. And Martha came. And this was good news for both of them. She said, "Mary, we couldn't go to Jesus, but he's come to us. Mary, the master is come." From earth to heaven is a long way. From earth to God's throne is a long way. From our sin to God's righteousness is a long way. And regardless of man's attempt, there is no way that man could get to God. There is no way that man could come to God. Back in Genesis chapter 11, there was a group of people that said, "Hey, we can get to God. We can build a tower to heaven, and we'll build this tower to heaven, and we can get to God by this tower." And they built a tower, they built it tall, but it didn't reach to heaven, and they never made it to God. There are some that tried, "Well, if I can learn everything there is to learn, if I can get intelligent, if I can study books, and if I can study after wise men, and I can learn a bunch of stuff, I can get to God through my intelligence." Solomon tried that. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, but his wisdom did not get him to God. Other people say, "Well, if I can gather the wealth of the world, if I can gather all the riches of the world, I can buy my way to God." And people have tried different things. I mean, people have tried religion. People have tried church. People have tried being good, and they've tried all sorts of things to get to God, but it's a long way from where man is to where God is, and regardless of what man does, he cannot get to God. Can't do it. Can't do it. But I'm so glad that mankind did not have to get to God. I'm so glad that God came to man. I'm so glad that he reached over that chasm that exists between the two of us. And talking about it in Luke, where the rich man died and went to hell, and the poor man died and went to heaven. And Abraham says, "There's a great chasm between the two of us. And there was a great chasm between my sin and the righteousness of God. There was a great chasm between where I was and where God was, and there's nothing that I can do, nothing that you can do to bridge that gap, to bridge that chasm. Thank God that we didn't have to come to him. He came to us." He left heaven and came to us. The Master is come. The Master is come. I want you to notice something about his coming. He came just like he said he would. He came just like the Bible said he would. He came just like Micah said he would and was born in the city of Bethlehem. He came just like Isaiah said he would, born of a virgin. He came just like Moses said he would, under the stars. He came like Isaiah said again he would, a lamb. He came like David said he would, an outcast. He came like Isaiah again said he would, a child. He came like Daniel said he would, a stone cut out without hands. He came like Isaiah said again, wonderful, counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, joy to the world. The Lord is come, the Master is come. And he came just like he said he would. I want you to notice something else. He didn't come to a Jerusalem debutante. He came to a lowly maid of Israel. He wasn't born in an antiseptic institute of healing. He came to a dirty Judean manger. He didn't come wrapped in a Syrian robe of silk. He came wrapped in Bethlehem burlap. He didn't come to theologians. He came to the shepherds watching their sheep by night. He didn't come to dwell in a palace. He came to live in a humble home in Nazareth. He didn't come to practice religion, and he came with a hammer to work as a carpenter. He didn't come in a way that made him unapproachable. You see, if he had come as a rich man or a smart man or a king or the son of a king, I would not be able to approach him. But he came in humble beginnings to the lowest folks on the earth. And he opened his arms wide, as Dylan sang a minute ago. And he comes to all people. He comes to all people. Praise God, the Master is come. There was a little girl in the hospital, and she was very, very sick. And she spent many, many days in the hospital. And most of her nurses were cheerful, and they tried to cheer her up. And one day, she got an old grouchy nurse that came into her room to take care of her for the morning. And the little girl noticed that she was grouchy, and she said, "Nurse, you must have not heard the good news." And the nurse says, "What good news? What good news?" The little girl said, "You must not have heard the good news because you're all grouchy this morning." And the nurse says, "What's the good news? What's the good news?" And the little girl says, "The good news is that Jesus came. He came. He came." How can anybody be grouchy? How can anybody not have a smile on their face and the joy of heaven in their heart? Because the Master is come, is come. I want you to notice, third of all, the Master is come and calleth. He calleth. That word calleth is the same word that's used in Matthew chapter 26, verse 74, when the Bible says, "And immediately the cock crew." Same word. And here's what I think the Bible's trying to tell us. That rooster, when he crowed, you know, when Peter was denying Christ, it just didn't go cock-a-doodle-doo. It went cock-a-doodle-doo! He called in a loud voice. Same word used in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, when Jesus cried from the cross, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Same word. Same word used in John 11, 43, when Jesus stood before the open grave of Lazarus, the one we're talking about this morning, and he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And that one who had been dead for 4 days, who the Jews believe his spirit had already left, came hopping out of that grave. He spoke to Elijah when Elijah was in the wilderness with a still, small voice. And I know sometimes God still does that. I know God still comes and speaks in a still, small voice. But when he calls us, when he's trying to get our attention. It's not a still, small voice. He calleth so that we can hear. He calleth so that the world can hear. The Master is come. Mary, he didn't say, Mary. Mary said, Mary! Mary, where are you? The Master is come and calleth. And then I want you to notice, finally, for thee. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Martha said, Mary, he's calling for you. He's calling you by name. Mary, the Master has come and he's calling you as an individual. He's calling you as a person. Mary, the Master has come and he's calling you. This was a little unknown, grieving, single woman. Back in that day, women didn't count for much. Single women couldn't work. And they weren't held very high in esteem. And yet Jesus came and he said, Mary, Mary, the Master is come and calleth for thee. The Master is come and calleth for thee, Zacchaeus, you wicked tax collector that have cheated people, charged them more in your greed than they deserve to pay. The Master has come, Zacchaeus, and he calls for you. He wants to forgive you, and he wants you to change. He wants the little children to sing about you when they sing, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and they want them to sing your story. The Master is come and calleth for thee, Peter and John, you that were busy in your fishing business, making plenty of money. He wants you to be preachers. He wants you to carry the gospel to the world. Saul, the Master is come and calleth for thee, you persecutor of Christians, you that murdered people for their faith. The Master has come, Saul. He's calling you by name. He wants to change you. He wants to send you as a missionary to the world to start churches and write half the New Testament. The Master has come and calleth for thee, Mary Magdalene, fallen woman. Seven demons possessed you. He wants to throw out those seven demons. He wants you to be a follower of his. He wants you to minister to him as he walks the face of the earth. The Master has come and calleth for thee, Matthew, you that set in receipt of customs. He wants to make you an evangelist. He wants you to tell his story and tell people how to be saved. The Master's come and calleth for thee, thief on the cross. We don't know what your crime is. Don't know if it was a murder. Don't know if it was theft. But today he wants you with him in paradise. The Master's come and calleth for thee, woman that sits on the well by Sychar. You that have had five husbands. You that are living in adultery. He wants you to have that living water. He wants you to taste it so that you'll never thirst again. The Master's come and calleth for thee, Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, the one that came to Jesus by night, teacher of the law. He wants you to be born again. The Master's come and calleth for thee, crippled man by the pool of Bethesda, 38 years lame. He wants you to get up. Take up your bed and walk and display his power. The Master is come and calleth for thee, demonic of Gadara. You that are filled with demons, you that live among the tombs that are naked. He wants to give you your right mind. The Master is come and calleth for thee, little children. The disciples tried to keep him away. And Jesus said, oh, no, no. The kingdom of heaven is made up. Don't stop the little children. The Master is come and calleth for thee, doubting Thomas. You that walked with Jesus for 3+ years, heard him teach, heard him preach. He wants to take away all your doubts so that you will know he is the Son of God. I mention all those this morning to say this. It doesn't matter who you are this morning. It doesn't matter what has happened in your life up to this point. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed or how good you have been. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, what kind of car you drive, or what kind of neighborhood you live in. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The Master is come and calleth for thee. And he calls you by name. And he calls and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me, all ye that are still paying the price for your sin. Come unto me, all ye that are separated from God. And he calls you by name. And like Dylan saying a moment ago, he's waiting for you to decide. He's waiting for you to decide. Are you going to take that gift of eternal life? Are you going to take that love that he has loved you with your whole life and beyond that for all eternity? Are you going to come and take that love? The Master has come and he calls you by name as an individual, as one. He calls you by name and said, would you be saved? Would you come to Jesus Christ? Would you come to me? I will save you. I will save you. He comes to every Christian like he came to some of these that I've mentioned. He calls you by name. He calls you by name for service. He calls you by name to do those things that will build his kingdom, that will share the gospel. He calls you by name to share Jesus with other people. He calls you by name because he wants to take away all your doubts. He wants you to know, just like Peter and just like Martha, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I don't know about you, but when I think that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who is the Master in charge of everything, that he left heaven, he came to us because we could not get to him. He came for me because I could not get to him. When I think that he did that and that he called me by name, he knows each one of us. He knows each one of us better than we know ourselves. And he came to us as an individual and called us by name. I can't help but rejoice. The Master... The Master loved me enough to come and call me to himself. The Master loves you, and he calls you to himself this morning. And if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, that's what he's calling to you this morning. You're a sinner. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, he's calling you by name this morning. He's saying, would you come? Just a second, we're going to stand. We're going to sing an invitation song. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I'd just like you to come down to the front. I'll have somebody take you the Bible, take this book, and show you from this book how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. We had a little boy in Sunday school this morning, Ed and Ella May's grandson, Logan, in Sunday school. He prayed, asked Jesus to be a Savior. And he'll do the same thing for every person here that doesn't know Christ. You ask him, he'll save you. I know many, many Christians are here this morning. He also calls us by name to do what we're supposed to do, to be what we're supposed to be, to fulfill that purpose that he made us for. If he's calling you this morning, listen and be obedient. Be obedient. Listen to the call and come. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross in our place. Your only begotten Son to pay the sin debt of wicked sinners, of whom I am chief. And I pray, Father, if there's one person here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, then in just a second, they'll get up from their seat, they'll walk the aisle, and we could have the privilege of showing them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts. If there's something you want us to do, there's some service that you've called us to, I pray, Father, we'd be obedient. We'd listen to the call, and we would come. Bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.